Waikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Waikatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into a really powerful, concise book that takes a hard look at racism.
Yeah, it really challenges some common assumptions. We're discussing Ali Ratanzi's racism. A very short introduction.
And our aim here isn't just to talk about racism, but to really dissect it as an ideology, you know?
Exactly. Ratanzi pushes us past thinking it's just about, well, individual bias or some kind of ancient hatred that's always been around.
Right. He argues it has specific modern roots, and understanding that is crucial because it keeps changing shape.
It does. And knowing its history helps us spot it today, whether we're talking about, say, Islamophobia or debates around immigration. It gives you the tools.
It helps you see it not just personal feelings, but as a system.
A system of power, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the sociological lens he brings.
So let's talk about the author, Ali Ratanzi. Who is he?
Well, he's an emeritus professor at City University of London. His fields are sociology, race, ethnicity, post-colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
He's deeply knowledgeable in these areas.
A serious academic, then. But what makes the book work, I think, is how he makes these complex ideas understandable.
Definitely. He doesn't just give you historical facts. He connects the dots ideologically. He shows how the idea of race was used across different times.
Linking things like the Enlightenment?
Yeah, the Enlightenment, the Atlantic slave trade, colonialism, and even, you know, modern debates about multiculturalism.
That's his sociological strength, isn't it? He shifts the focus from just asking, is someone racist?
Right. He wants us to look at the structural institutional side of things,
yeah.
How society itself is organized.
It provides a really solid historical framework for thinking about this whole topic clearly.
Without getting bogged down in just emotion. Yeah. Okay. So the core idea, this is really central.
The big one. Racism isn't timeless. It's not a universal human thing.
No. He argues it's a distinctly modern invention.
That's huge. An invention.
Yeah. Specifically constructed, he says, during the European Enlightenment and the rise of Atlantic slavery.
So it served a purpose. It wasn't just prejudice.
It was an ideological necessity, as he puts it. Think about it. You've got these Enlightenment ideals of liberty, reason, universal rights.
And at the same time, you're running this absolutely brutal system of slavery, massive scale.
How do you reconcile those two things? The contradiction is enormous.
You invent a category. A hierarchy of humans.
Exactly. You create the idea of race to argue that some people just aren't included in those universal rights by their very nature. It justifies the exploitation.
Wow. So it was a tool to smooth over that moral and economic conflict.
A powerful one.
Yeah.
And once it was created, it didn't stay static. It evolved.
It started with those attempts in the 19th century to make it scientific, right? Biological racism.
That was that pseudoscience, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to prove hierarchy through biology.
But then, after World War II and the Holocaust, that became untenable.
Completely discredited on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
But Ratanzi says racism didn't disappear. It
yeah.
just adapted.
Changed its clothes, as he puts it.
Mm-hmm. Into what some call new racism or cultural racism.
Where the argument shifts from biology to culture.
Basically, yes. It's less they are inferior and more their culture, their values, they're just incompatible with ours.
Yeah.
The exclusion continues just with different words.
Okay, let's dig into that history a bit more, starting with that paradox you mentioned, the Enlightenment one.
Right, the paradox of liberty. Ratanzi makes the point that, you know, ancient societies like Greece or Rome, they had prejudice, slavery, hierarchies, but they weren't based on a fixed biological idea of race.
It was more about citizenship or who you conquered or language.
Things like that, yeah. Not this idea of inherited difference rooted in biology. So modern racism had to be created.
And it was created by the very same thinkers we celebrate for liberty and reason, like Kant, Locke, Hume.
It's disturbing, isn't it? He shows how these key Enlightenment figures were actually involved in developing racial classifications. Kant, for example, put the white race at the pinnacle of reason.
So the philosophy underpinning modern liberalism was, from the start, tangled up with justifying the economics of slavery.
It seems it was almost necessary intellectually to make that system function without, well, constant moral cognitive dissonance for those running it.
Once you have that idea in place, then comes the effort to prove it scientifically in the 19th century.
And this is where science, or what passed for it, becomes a weapon.
You mean things like craniometry, measuring skulls?
Exactly. Measuring skulls, phrenology, trying to link physical features to intelligence or moral worth, and twisting Darwin's ideas into social Darwinism.
Survival of the fittest applied to human societies.
To justify European dominance, yeah. It must be natural selection, right?
It provided the perfect rationale for empire and colonialism.
Absolutely. The whole civilizing mission rested on this bedrock belief in the inherent inferiority of the colonized. It wasn't just prejudice. It was baked into the operating system of colonial rule.
It justified the violence, the land theft, everything.
If you believe they're fundamentally lesser, then ruling them isn't oppression, it's guidance. Or just the natural order.
Okay, so fast forward. The Holocaust happens. Biological racism is globally condemned. UNESCO even declares race a social construct.
A major turning point. But the ideology didn't die.
It just put on the great disguise.
It morphed into this cultural racism. The language changes completely.
It stops being about blood and biology.
And starts being about culture, values, religion being incompatible. They don't share our way of life. They can't integrate. Their values threaten ours?
That's tricky, though, because sometimes there are real debates about values or practices in a society. How does Ratansi separate legitimate critique from this cultural racism?
That's a crucial question. He argues it becomes cultural racism when you essentialize a group, like with Islamophobia, for instance.
You mean treating all Muslims as if they're one monolithic block?
Exactly. Stereotyping a hugely diverse group, portraying their culture or religion as inherently anti-Western or inherently violent or fundamentally incapable of fitting in. The function is still exclusion, even if the language sounds less crude than old biological racism.
So it's about looking at the effect and the generalization, not just the specific words used.
Yes. And that leads us to maybe the most powerful part of his argument, the invisible hand.
Institutional racism.
This is where we have to stop looking just for the overtly prejudiced individual, the person with hate in their heart.
Because institutional racism is about the system itself.
Right. It's how racial inequality gets reproduced through the normal, everyday, often unthinking operations of our institutions. Justice, housing, education, employment.
So things can be unfair in their outcome, even if the people involved don't intend to be discriminatory.
Precisely. Think about historical factors like old housing segregation laws. The laws might be gone, but the consequences, huge wealth gaps, underfunded schools in certain neighborhoods, they persist.
Because the structure created by those past actions is still in place.
Exactly. The system, built on that unequal foundation, keeps generating unequal results. It's not just bad apples. It might be the design of the barrel itself.
That really shifts your perspective, doesn't it?
Okay.
Let's try to boil down the key messages. We can maybe use some of Ratansi's core ideas here.
Okay. First, the big one. Racism is a modern ideology. It had to be invented to justify the unjustifiable. The takeaway. It was constructed, so it's not inevitable. It can be challenged, dismantled.
That feels empowering in a way. It's not some permanent feature of humanity.
Right. Second key idea about the shift. When the scientific basis for race collapsed, racism did not disappear. It merely changed its clothes, trading biological inferiority for cultural incompatibility.
The lesson there is vigilance, isn't it? We need to look closely at arguments about culture or integration and ask what function they're serving.
Are they genuinely about specific issues? Or are they essentializing and excluding? And third, the systemic point. To search for racism only in the hearts of hateful individuals is to miss the point entirely. Its most powerful form is institutional.
That's the call to action, right? Look beyond individual attitudes.
Yeah, focus on policies, procedures, the structures of our institutions, legal, educational, economic. That's where the deep changes need to happen.
So how does this understanding help us, you know, day to day? What are the real life applications?
Well, one immediate benefit is improved media literacy. You start to recognize the coded language.
When you hear politicians or commentators talk about a clash of civilizations or certain groups just failing to integrate,
you can now identify that as potentially being the language of cultural racism, asking critical questions about the generalizations being made.
And professionally, if you're in HR or education or even policymaking,
this framework moves you beyond just, say, diversity training about individual bias. You start auditing the systems.
Like, are hiring criteria unintentionally biased? Is the school curriculum presenting a skewed view of history?
Exactly. You shift from focusing only on people's attitudes to reforming the actual structures and procedures.
And personally, for all of us.
I think understanding how deeply embedded these ideas became historically prompts, well, some necessary self-reflection.
About our own unconscious biases.
Yeah. We all grew up in societies shaped by these histories.
Yeah.
Recognizing that can make us, hopefully, more mindful in how we interact, more willing to listen, especially across cultural lines.
For me, the thing that really hit home was that Enlightenment paradox. The idea that the very thinkers laying the groundwork for modern liberty were simultaneously creating the justifications for a racial hierarchy.
It's deeply unsettling.
It suggests racism wasn't just some unfortunate mistake alongside liberalism, but was actually, at least initially, kind of woven into its economic and philosophical fabric.
Yeah.
It's a lot to wrestle with.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think Ratanzi's ultimate point, the most valuable lesson maybe, is that this isn't a simple good versus evil fight.
It's not just about rooting out the bad people.
No. It's a complex, historically built system of power. He talks about tackling it as being like an uncompleted project.
Meaning the work is never really done.
It requires constant awareness, understanding the history, being vigilant about how racism adapts, and, crucially, taking ongoing action to change those structures. That's how we move towards genuinely equitable societies.
A challenging but really important perspective. It forces you to think much bigger.
It certainly does.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.